you have to understand that action is where everything takes place. Like, if you hear some sort of motivation and you hear some sort of people talking about, like, oh my God, you can literally create anything you want, and you have not taken it, and you're not going to go and take action right after that, I don't know who you are. Like, you know, but if you, no, really, like, to be all, in all seriousness, if you have something in your mind that you're thinking about right now, a passion, a dream, if you hate where you work right now, if you hate the relationship you're in right now, if you're not being treated the best way, if you're in a place and you're looking down upon it in any way, you can get up and change that.
Surrounding yourself with solid people is key to being great and to stepping out of your comfort zone.
The people that impact me the most are the people that I'm closest to.
We've watched our parents work the same jobs for 25 years, and we don't want that lifestyle.
I am 100% behind this generation and what they're going to do.
Surround yourself with good people, and if you can't find good people in person, find them online.
Welcome back once again, you wonderful people. We have another awesome episode here today, episode 6 on this fine Tuesday, and we have Ashley Zahabian with us. She is a young entrepreneur, startup founder, and speaker, and she is a high-energy, fast-talking, young professional woman, and she is ready to share her story with you and what has helped her achieve the success that she has achieved thus far in her 20-some years of life. And then we will jump right into it. I do want to make note, however, of a small issue that we had at the beginning of the interview. I always start off with letting the guest know that the I Am the Average podcast is based off of the Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So that's how the interview started, and then I missed the first few sentences of Ashley's response. So we'll start off right in the middle of Ashley's response. It is an awesome one, and then we'll continue on with the interview, and once again, recap at the end, so be sure to stick around until then. But for now, be sure to enjoy the show, and then we'll talk at the end. All right, enjoy.
We also, I hang around a lot of people who have already succeeded a lot. And sometimes I work in their home. I'm able to go to these events with them and hear them speak to thousands of individuals and inspire so many individuals. And I say to myself, that's where I want to be. And just being around it shows that it's possible. It shows that, I can do it at any age. And also you hear the stories of how they did it themselves and that the way that it already worked. You learn the psychology of winning. And I think that that's the difference between hanging around somebody who knows how to win and who has that mindset, because I do think that success is partially what you kind of inherit, like learn and inherit from others, but it's also partially in your blood and learning that you literally become the people that you hang out with, because you can only be what you know. And if what you know is what you're putting yourself around and the knowledge that you're taking in, that is essentially who you're going to become and what's going to show externally and internally out of who you are.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hard to grow when you're not surrounding yourself with people who are better than you. I know there's a similar quote that if you walk into a room and you're the smartest person in the room, you're the wrong room, or something like that.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes.
So, all right. Why don't we jump into you giving a little background on what it is that you do exactly and kind of some of your passions and desires that you want to accomplish with your life currently.
Sure. So a little bit about what I do. So I am 21 years old. At 19 years old, I started a company called Remind You. And what the company is, it's a location-based notification system that it's part of the IoT world, which means that there's an application and there's a product. So the application on our phone is integrated in your everyday calendar and your notifications applications that are on your iPhone or whatever smartphones that you have. And the product has a connection to the phone via Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, depending on what you want to use. And all the notifications are sent to the product. And wherever you put the product, for example, if I have one in my car, the second I walk in the car, and let's say I want to remind myself tomorrow morning that when I'm in my car, to don't forget to put some air in my tires. So the second I walk into the car, it's gonna have a speaking activation through a motion sensor. So it knows I'm there, starts speaking to me, and it says, don't forget to, put air in your tire. So instead of having that alarm clock and notification on our phone, it's location-based. So exactly when I'm where I need to hear it, that's when it'll speak. So this product was directly marketed first to Alzheimer's patients, because this was a problem that I was enduring with my grandmother, who lives pretty far away, who has Alzheimer's and was leaving her stove on. She was taking medication like 4 times a day. She was leaving lights on. She was falling in the shower. So those reminders helped her know, okay, I already took my medication, or okay, I need to remember to turn the stove off and the fire off when I walk out of the kitchen. So these things helped a lot for the elderly community. So that's a little bit what I do on the entrepreneurial side. I'm a student of economics, entrepreneurship, and pre-law at Montclair State University. I'll be graduating within a year. This summer, I'll be working at Bloomberg, and I'm really excited to work in the analytics there. The culture there is amazing. I'm very, very excited. And I'm a public speaker, motivational speaker, that I go around a lot of universities and companies and speak to employees and motivate the workforce.
Awesome. Awesome. You are definitely, or at least sound like, a busy lady that is... Very, very inspiring just in your story alone. But I could see how absolutely it could help out somebody whose memory is failing them. So,
right, because I think it's hard to understand how hard it really is to take care of somebody with Alzheimer's. And not that they're a burden or anything, but just the reality of it is that, like, they really need a voice behind them all the time. And, you know, it's not easy when you're the caregiver that has to take care of them, and you have your own life, you have your work life, you have a family, you have children, you have a wife, you have a husband. It's very difficult. So, you know, that was me in that case. I was going to my grandmother's all the time. So I created this product to kind of help me out, and I realized how beneficial it really could be to, and it had the potential to expand into so many different sectors, not only for elders, but, you know, maybe students. We want to remember that we have to do certain assignments at certain times. Okay, I'll set the reminder when I walk into my room at, in 3 days, that I have to start my essay or whatever it is. Because having all these things in our mind, or all these notifications on our phone, it can give us a headache. It's very anxiety provoking and very overwhelming. So to know, all right, I don't need to worry about that essay because I already know I set a reminder for it, and I already know I'm going to remember it. It's off my shoulders. So I think that there's so many different ways that we can use this product, and I'm excited to expand.
Great. I definitely will be checking it out myself.
Thank you.
So going back to, the relationships in our lives, whether you've had good or bad or both, whatever it may be, in your experience, what are the relationships, both, or choose one, friendly or intimate, that have been hard to leave? And then give an example or some examples of why that has been so, why the relationship, whether friendly or intimate, has been hard to leave, and what kept you there.
Sure. So I actually just left the relationship about a month and a half ago. And the reason that it was hard to leave was because it was a very productive relationship. Nonetheless, there were external things that were holding me back towards my entrepreneurial dreams and things that I wanted to accomplish. But when you gain so much value, and I always say this, don't play hard to get, play hard to forget. Always make sure that you're bringing up value, even if it's something that, like, a lot of times our ego gets in the way of our relationships. And when you put that aside, you become hard to forget instead of hard to get. So that's a big advice just to put out there. But I think that was the main reason it was hard to leave, was because this person brought so much value into my life, although it was going to work out long term. If they brought so much value, it's definitely not something I regret, something that I do miss, but it's something that needed to be done. And when somebody supports your dreams and backs you up with the knowledge that you need and the networking that you need and the data that you need and constantly helping you focus on what you need, that makes the relationship very, very hard to leave. Whether it's a friendship or intimate relationship, I mean, I've had friends that do the same thing. Another person, for example, was my partner, for Remind You, who actually had to move due to a family emergency, and it made it difficult for us to work together, and we had to separate. He was a great partner, very productive partner, very, very, very reliable, and he had to move for family purposes and, you know, kind of tore us apart. It was very upsetting, and he had to let go of the company. So that was another really difficult relationship to leave.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never thought of it in that way of, you know, it wasn't any difficulties between the relationship itself. It's an external factor that kind of forced the separation and then just making that difficult as well. I've never looked at it that way. That's really interesting. Okay, so, and this was something I had struggled with for a while, is just leaving those difficult relationships. It was, you know, whether they're there's some element of it that makes it fun to be around or hard to leave, whether they're just fun or they're funny, or there's that element that kind of keeps you attached. So what would you say is some of the best advice you could give someone who's surrounding themselves with the wrong people but might not know how to leave?
Sure. So, you know, I always follow the guidelines of 1 + 1 = 2. It's something, some advice that a mentor of mine gave to me, and I think it's very good advice for everybody to take, is that you have to commit to this equation and apply it to life, and actually, like, really, really commit to it and say to yourself, no matter what happens, 1 + 1 = 2. So if this person's bad for me, then the outcome is going to be bad, right? Because 1 + 1 = 2. You can't change that equation. So although somebody might be funny, I always say some of the funniest people are the most troubled people, because they're just hilarious. They know how to make jokes. But they don't know how to be productive. So, okay, do we choose what's funny or productive? You know, I always think long term. But at the end of the day, 1 + 1 = 2. We know that that troubled person is going to give us a troubled outcome. A healthier, productive person is going to give us a healthier, productive outcome. So just committing that to yourself and realizing to yourself, like, I am worth, you know, taking this equation into perspective, and I am worth making that decision for myself, although it's going to be hard. You know, sometimes it's just comfort. We get comfortable around certain people. You know, oh, I'm so used to seeing my friend every day, and I'm so used to having a gym partner. I'm so used to this, I'm so used to that. But at the end of the day, like I said, if they're not good for you, 1 + 1 = 2. You're going to get the negative outcome. And if that's not what you're looking for, then you have to make that commitment regardless. And that you have to allow your reality and your realistic mind, which this is where emotional intelligence comes in, to overcome the emotional mind where you're, you know, you kind of miss this person, or you kind of, you have to just have that 1 + 1 = 2 mindset.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, an easy way to look at it, I guess, an easier way to look at it than just, you know, just looking at that one benefit that you're getting out of it. They're just enjoyable to be around or whatever. But if you're looking for something more, then obviously there's something that needs to be looked at a little more closely, and what exactly you're trying to pursue in your own passions and goals.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, I guess fun is a great thing, but who says you can't find a productive, fun person?
Absolutely. And I think it's just the learning, you know, I guess I look at my past where I was addicted to alcohol, and I'm going out every week, and I'm like, oh man, this is so much fun. And then now I look where, I work 7 days a week, or I'm on the computer or connecting with people doing these interviews and everything like that. And I'm like, I thoroughly enjoy this. Like, this is definitely not only productive, but I enjoy connecting with people, sitting down for an hour here and there with guests to interview, and not only hearing their story, but then turning it into an end product that is being shared with, I mean, potentially thousands or millions of people.
100%. And being able to, I think what it is in letting go of people, it's the anxiety that comes before letting go and not knowing what's to come. And, you know, saying like, well, what's going to happen if I do this by myself? Well, nothing's going to happen. You're going to sit there and you're going to do it by yourself. You know, making those decisions and doing things alone. I read this amazing, amazing, amazing article about, you know, what's wrong with doing things by yourself. And, you know, we're so used to saying, oh, this person is sitting at the coffee shop, maybe, you know, by themselves, maybe we should go talk to them. But I think that's very healthy. I think it's very healthy to be able to sit there by yourself, because then when somebody does come along, you know how to appreciate that person a million times better, because it's more genuine. It's more like, I don't need you, but I really want to be around you. And that's what makes that, that's what makes it really beautiful.
All right. So Ashley, you've had some experience in your 21 years of life so far with speaking, or just putting yourself out there into situations what others might seem as frightful or just scary. So that vulnerability that a lot of people, whether it's entrepreneurs or just, I mean, whether you're giving a speech in your college class. So how did you get past that vulnerability? And then what were some of the keys that helped you overcome the vulnerability to just put yourself out there and go after something?
Well, you know, as I, you know, when I was younger, I developed anorexia. So something that, you know, it's an addiction. It's just like an alcoholic, just like a drug addict. It's the same mindset. It was literally in therapy sessions with drug addicts and alcoholics, because it is the same type of disease, just different products. You guys, you know, someone uses alcohol, someone uses drugs. I use food. So it was the same mindset, and being forced to literally share every single thought that was in my mind that was completely weird to the person I was talking to, because the person I was talking to was completely healthy. And the things that I'm saying were completely irrational. You know, all these rules that I made up in my head about food and, you know, putting it out there and having, you know, other people other than the therapist. Like if I were to tell my friends, if they'd look at me like I have five heads. But being able to just say those things made it so much easier to say these things to everybody. So breaking that barrier in rehab, because I was hospitalized for 4 years. I mean, 4 years of sharing your thoughts, it makes you unbreakable. I mean, it's so easy for me to go out to somebody and just say, hey, yeah, I had an eating disorder and this is what I thought. Or, hey, I think this about something, because I've already done it for 4 years and I saw how far it got me and how beneficial it was to just speak my mind. So going out in front of a bunch of students and speaking that isn't as hard for me. And what I also realized is that people enjoy hearing the weird side of other people. So when I go out there and I say something that's very abnormal and weird, like sometimes the first thing I say when I'm on stage is I'm not human. And then people just look at me like, all right, either she's on drugs or she's being serious right now. And like that, just that view of she's different. And that can help me view myself a little bit differently. People enjoy that. They don't really judge that. They actually think it's bold. So that breaking that stereotype of, oh, I can't be different than anybody else. No, people want to meet people who are different. And the reaction I got from it was beautiful. Like people coming up to me, they want to hear more about my story, more about what it's like to speak about these topics, or more about how I gained this knowledge at such a young age, or more about how I had my startup at such a young age, or whatever it is. They want to hear that. That's what they're here for. If you're going to be like everybody else and they don't want to hear you because it's just the same thought being repeated everywhere, they want to hear something different. And that broke my vulnerability and fear of speaking out my thoughts to the world.
Wow, absolutely. And I'm sure at first it was difficult. The first, whether you call them sessions or whatever it may be, it was difficult. I had similar experiences where who's now my wife, were talking about it and realizing for the first time that I was an alcoholic, and it wasn't normal. It was something that I would always justify in one way or another, whether it was like, oh, I came home from a deployment and I deserve to have time to go out with friends and stuff like that. So it was always a justification about why the actions I was doing were normal or weren't crazy, or, you know, just that the life I was living was okay. So it was to make, I don't know, just like putting the Band-Aid on it, just making myself not feel bad about it. And then I started slowly but surely, like, I had a drinking problem, or I had an issue with alcohol. And then it's like, you know, eventually it's like, no, I was an alcoholic. I drank every day. It, you know, I wasn't getting wasted or whatever you would call it every day, but it was alcoholism. It was by definition, I was an alcoholic. So, and it's now it's just like telling that story and connecting with people. People are so much more, it's a lot more powerful.
Yeah. And it's also understanding that like the human psychology in every individual is pretty basic. Like we all have the same psychology. We just have different cultures and different beliefs and views, but our psychology works the same. So when somebody approaches somebody and, you know, is very vulnerable, people appreciate that because they also want to be vulnerable. Every human seeks relationships. Every human seeks connectivity. So when we open the door to being vulnerable, that opens their door. And that's where you build a relationship, right? Relationships aren't built on pretending you're perfect. They're built on, hey, I'm imperfect and I want you to help me. And can I give to you so you can give to me? And you know, it's sharing those experiences that people really start to respect you for.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I want to do. Kind of the main highlight of the I Am the Average community is for people to connect on those shared experiences and shared stories, and stories like yours where somebody's listening and like, oh my gosh, like she's 21 years old and she's done this already. I'm 25 and I've, you know, whatever I've done, I can certainly do it. There's nothing holding me back and I can go forth at this point and do it. So it's through those stories and that connection that we're able to do something of impact.
Right. 100%. And it, you know what? It's exactly that. It's I am average. It's understanding that everybody in this world is, we're all the quote unquote average. Like you're not abnormal just because you're, you know, you went through something. No, you're average. You're normal. It's normal to go through things, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Completely agree. So, Ashley, you definitely, as you shared in the beginning, are a busy woman, and It sounds like now you said you hit the gym earlier this morning and then you're working now and you're connecting with people. So when you have downtime, I'm sure in its own sense, you obviously enjoy working hard and doing that. But what do you do that brings peace to your life or just excitement or just when you're relaxing? What are the things you do that, what I like to call hunting the good stuff, that when you're not working, the things you like to do to relax?
Oh boy, when I'm not working, when is that? No, but I would say there's a few things that I do enjoy. I really enjoy cooking. I love cooking and trying new types of foods. That's something I really enjoy. I love dancing. I'm a dancer. So dancing is something I do in my own time. And I play soccer and tennis. Those are the two sports that I really enjoy, mostly in the summertime, but I do probably once a week go and play soccer with a team, which is really awesome. I get to do that. But other than that, I mean, I would say I work like 16 hours a day. Like, I don't sleep. I don't, I'm just freaking working all day.
That definitely, probably the relationships in your life have some influence on that, that they're, obviously it's kind of the, I'm not going to be the first one to give up mentality, maybe.
Yeah. It's more of like, it's because when you love it, it becomes easier to, you know, I love what I do. So it's easier for me to stay up and do it all night. Like I have to literally like watch an episode of something before I sleep. I don't like TV, but I have to watch an episode of something before I sleep. Otherwise I sleep on the thought of work.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It is too. It's, almost a struggle or an addiction, so to speak, as well, because I mean, my wife and I, she'll be working on the laptop and I'll be on the desktop, and it's, you know, taking 5-10 minutes before we go to bed to sit down and kind of recap about our day, because otherwise we just sit there and work and work and work until our eyes can't stay open anymore. And then it's like, all right, bedtime, and without any communication at all. So, it's definitely, it's great that, you know, you and myself and my wife and people like that are passionate about what we're doing, but also it can be a kind of a two-headed demon, I guess, is, I don't know what the exact saying is, but something like that.
Yeah. I think that also, like, it is a little bit more difficult when you have a family and a wife and kids and things of that sort, you know, because there's a balance that needs to take place there. For me, it's more like I'm in WeWork, I'm on campus, I'm in my room just working. Everywhere I go, I have some sort of an office to work in. And then, you know, the responsibility that I have is a lot different than what an adult has, which is why I'm really trying to get this work, you know, not to say I'll be done when I'm married, but like, you know, all the hard work of the foundation of a business takes place that you really don't have time. So I'm trying to get that done before I have those responsibilities. For you to be doing this with a family is very something that I respect, because it takes a lot of work to be able to balance all of that. I mean, I think I personally think being a father and a husband is a full-time job in itself.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And, yeah, it's just finding that balance, though, and obviously having the right people. I mean, I definitely am pretty intentional about the relationships I allow in my life, and I mean, it just goes to show more. A lot of my relationships are virtual, and just following the right people online and not letting garbage into my life, whether it's on social media or TV. I'm also one who's not a big TV watcher. My wife and I do
have a
few little rituals that we do with, like, sitting down and relaxing an hour a week or so, to watch a show here and there. But other than that, it's, yeah, not surrounding ourselves with a bunch of garbage that the major news companies put out or just whatever it may be. So
it's,
yeah,
that's actually funny you say that, because one of the things that when I do look for friends and, I get a lot of either really impressed eyes when I say this, what I'm about to say, or really like, oh, that's stupid. But one of the things that I do when I look for friends is I'll look at like who they follow on Instagram. And the second I see a Kardashian, I'm like, oh, no, not even my type. Like I personally, my friend went to look up the Kardashian on my Instagram, and they're like, why isn't it coming up? And I'm like, oh, I blocked that. Like, I don't even want to see it. Because those kind of like following other people that are just because they have numbers doesn't mean that they're going to help you get there. Because people spend hours obsessing over these people who aren't even doing what they want. Like the people the celebrities that I'm going to follow is like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, you know, very influential.
Yes,
Gary Vaynerchuk. Those are very influential people that I can gain so much knowledge from. They have well-balanced lives. They're very emotionally intelligent. And then you see celebrities who are just exterior pretty, whatever. They don't get me wrong, they're beautiful girls, but Those aren't people I want to become. So by following those people, you don't realize it, but you're subconsciously becoming who they are. And it's crazy how many people follow the trends of these people without realizing that they're doing so with false hopes of, oh, well, I'm going to be cooler if I become. No, you know, you want to be yourself. These people are up there because they're just being themselves, you know?
Yes.
So just taking that out of the life, that's one of the first things I love. Who do you follow? Mm-hmm. You know, if you have somebody that's influential, but in a negative way, I don't even want to be your friend because I already know where your head's at. Like, it really does show who you are.
It does, absolutely. And not only even show who you are, but if you're that concerned about what's going on in this person's life that not only is so far disconnected from yours, but adds no value in any way to your life, or I mean, I guess you could argue that they don't add value to the world in some way or another because they're still a human being. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in when you really look at the fine details of it, yeah, it's very
or at
little.
Least not in our lives.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Because I'm sure that they donate to a bunch of people,
right,
and they have fashion lines and things of that sort. But it, to me, it has like a lip gloss company has no effect on.
Exactly.
You know, so. I don't want to surround myself with people who care about that because I'm not into makeup like that. So, you know, if you're a makeup artist, cool, follow. But
yeah, exactly. So when I look back on my life, there are a few certain instances. I was never a big reader, for example, and I read a book by Blake Mycoskie, Start Something That Matters, and it really changed my idea of what it meant to start a business that not only gave back to a good cause, but you know, provided a good living for your family or for your life. It made a profit. So, in an instant like that, what is a significant event in your life that really changed where you were going and then shaped where you are today?
So you're talking about like something that somebody else did or something that I did?
Just anything that you did, a certain event or, you know, a certain anything, significant event that happened in your life that really kind of, you know, whether it was corrected your path or just showed you that there was a certain way that life could be lived or anything like that.
Sure. So actually one day I was going home. It was the first time I went to rehab and I was like, I really didn't want to be there. So I was on my way home from, it was a 2-hour ride back and forth. I had to take a bus and on my way back, I had a really bad day, really crappy day. And a homeless guy actually came on the bus and sat next to me and just started talking about his life. And the second he opened his mouth, I was like, wow, what am I complaining about? Like, this guy has so much more wrong. He didn't have a leg. He had like a fake leg. He had a fake arm. He had absolutely no money. He lost both of his parents, lost his kids. Like, he had so much more to complain about than I did. Yet he was sitting there telling me to have a better day. And that opened my eyes because I was like, whoa, like the gratitude that he has at having nothing is so much more powerful. And that same day I was watching a video about homeless people and it was basically a guy was walking around. I don't know if you've ever seen this. He was walking around the city and he had money. He was giving out free money and everyone was taking $5, $10.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the homeless guy is like, oh, I just need one. You know, so like just to see the gratitude that comes from pain. That's what made me realize, like, maybe I should appreciate where I am I should appreciate this illness and I should turn it into gratitude more than anything else because I was lucky enough to have something that humbled me up, you know, and everyone else is so caught up in this materialistic world. Oh, we have to have this, we have to have that. No, but like really, like I had something and you too had an illness that was able to humble us up. And the reason that we're on this phone call right now and doing this interview is because of gratitude. It's because we appreciate giving back, right? Because who else are we going to talk to? Just ourselves? No, this is for everybody, you know, this is for everybody else. So just to be able to have that gratitude of, hey, I want to use my time giving back. I want to use my time bringing value to people. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have that feeling and a lot of individuals have that feeling, very passionate. I think it creates passion within us because it allows us to not settle for the regular life because we've been through this thing. It allows us to open the doors to emotional intelligence because we now understand other people. We have a lot of empathy. So I think that understanding that day really opened my eyes to pain is really your best friend. And he gave me a wonderful speech that day on the bus and he didn't even let me speak and he just walked away. And that's, I was like, damn, you have to leave me like that? Like, so, he was just so powerful. And then ever since then, every single week, I spent an hour in the city giving back, whether it be like water bottles to homeless people or whatever it is, talking, even just talking. You're just cool. talking to homeless people. Like, I think that's more expensive right. than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I know just hearing people's stories in general can be powerful, whether you intend to do anything with it or not. Just sitting down and giving them your time is something that most anybody would appreciate, just letting them be heard.
Yeah, like there's times that I would, you know, there's always this trouble person who, you know, everyone's like, oh, don't get involved, don't get involved. And I'm always the person to be like, hey, are you okay? And then everyone's like, why are you talking to her? She's stupid. She's no, like, are you okay? Like, I want to talk to her. Stop. Leave me alone. I want to talk to her. And giving that 1 hour back to somebody is something I made sure I've done every week, every single week of my life.
Awesome. Inspiring. Very. Yeah. I know you mentioned at least entrepreneurs tend to have that idea of wanting to give back. And that's part of the reason why the motivation behind I Am the Average is just because I was in that situation. And obviously you were too, where you struggled with something and you knew there was something more to life, but it was a struggle to get out of it, that you had to take conscious effort, conscious steps every day, you know, going to the meetings and sharing your story and taking effort to get out of that every day and battle through it and learn from it. And it was the same thing for me. I was in that situation and I knew there was more to life. I knew what I wanted to do, or I knew that I wanted to make a difference, but it was just finding how. And obviously it was through the realization that the people I'm surrounding myself with have an exponential effect on not only the kind of life I'm living, but the amount of impact I'm making as well.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think that even goes with, like, unfortunately, this is something that a lot of people can't really choose, but have the choice to pass down is your family. And, like, you know, at this point, we can't choose our family, but we do have the choice in who we invest in as a husband or wife. And I think that that takes 90% of our happiness and our future. And it's very important to really, really, really decide who do you want to spend the rest of your life with, because that is going to decipher 90% of your life's outcome.
Indeed. So kind of touching on a little bit what we talked about earlier, but so overcoming, it was anorexia, correct?
Yep.
So overcoming that, I'm sure that it took, you know, it wasn't just one day all of a sudden a switch flipped and things were infinitely better. So what, were kind of some of the things that you did? Was it just, whether it was relationships or whatever it may have been in your situation, but what did you do to make sure that you were taking those steps, whether it was, you know, 2 steps forward and 2 steps back and then 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, but to make sure that overall you were going forward, what were some of those necessary things or the key elements of that success?
Right. So, you know, when I was in rehab, basically, it was just, you know, them providing me the foods that I was uncomfortable with and eating more and getting my weight back up, you know, making sure that I was no longer weak. I was no longer dying, pretty much. and there was a lot of therapy that was going on. But one thing that I took home by myself was the power of fighting your own instinct and why that's so important. Because a lot of times our first instinct is, there's this voice inside our head. Our first instinct is usually unhealthy, right? And I speak about this in one of my last videos, but like, for example, when somebody cuts you off, right? Our first instinct, really fast, honk the horn, get angry, right? So that's the negative instinct. Or when somebody cheats on you, oh, I'm going to call. No, just chill. Listen to the second voice, because that second voice is always more true. And every time I would, you know, go to sleep at night, I would always think to myself, what is that first voice? And I would write it down. And what is that second voice? And then I would learn how to combat day by day, combat that first voice. And it gave me so much emotional intelligence. And I have so much control over the way I think today because of this illness, because I now know how to combat what my instincts are. So, you know, when somebody criticizes me, you know, our first instinct is what? Defense, defend yourself, right? But today it's, you know, today when someone criticizes me, the first thing I could say is, I'll take that into consideration. You know, that second voice is always true. So I think that was how I learned to take two steps forward and 1 step back. Not to say that nobody's perfect. I'm not even perfect today, but it is something that I continuously work on, is just that, you know, Ashley, listen to that second voice, because we're all human and we all have that first and second voice. Right. And, you know, I don't think anybody in the world could say that they always listen to that second voice, but to continuously work on listening to that second voice and making that your best friend is very, very important.
And being aware of it. Yeah, absolutely. And
100%.
I think even in parallel to that second voice would just be the fact, I know that you kind of touched on last time when we spoke real briefly, was that everybody has, you know, somebody cuts you off, and there's been plenty of situations I know where I've been cut off, and I'm completely on accident or just whatever reason, been in a hurry and just being a goof and cut somebody off. And everybody has their own, you know, whether it's a battle they're struggling or just a complete airhead move or something like that. It's not like I didn't get in my car that day and said, I'm going to go cut off as many people as I can possibly cut off in this driving period or whatever it might be. So yeah, just realizing that everybody has their own story, their own situation, their own battles that they're struggling through and going about of their day.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, your skill to be able to do that comes from the ability to feel empathy towards others, so that when somebody cuts you off, instead of taking things so personal, you know, instead of taking it personally, you say to yourself, oh man, maybe they're in a rush somewhere. And you think about the other person, and that's that empathy factor that illness really gives you, and that I'm appreciative for because of my illness.
Great, 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 great. Thanks for sharing. So let's move on to some of the wrap up questions here.
Sure.
Over time I've focused on surrounding myself with incredible people, at least over the last roughly 2 years or so. And you obviously have been doing that as well to make sure that you're able to be on a successful path and going through with your business and school and everything else. So what do you suggest as some advice to young adults who either want to get out of a bad spot, whether it's a relationship or just an addiction or whatever it may be, or if they're on the right path to continue going on that straight path? So what is some advice you would give out to somebody who's either in a bad situation or currently on the straight path to remain?
So I think that if somebody's in a bad situation, the most important thing, and I think you out of everybody knows this best, is to admit it, right? So like admitting not just to yourself and in the mirror, but like to somebody you trust that you're in a bad place. Because if you keep trying to cover that up, you know, a lot of times that I work with a lot of clients, and a lot of times what I see, and it's a common pattern, is that people will overextend their communication and start talking about all the great things that, you know, they wish they had, and kind of pretend, they almost create this false delusional reality. And instead of just saying, hey, like, I'm in a really crappy spot right now where I have no financial income, I have no friends, I'm not happy with who I am, being able to say that invites the power to change it. Because until you say it, and until you write it, and until you share it, there's no way you can work on it. Because
right, right.
You haven't released it. You haven't put it out there. You haven't opened the door yet. So you have to open the door to change. And the way to open the door to change for me when I was sick was I had to write a letter to my mom. And I wrote a letter to my mom and I said, look, you know, I've realized I'm sick, like I'm dying. And I really need help. And it's hard for me to tell you this in person, a little bit awkward, but you know, you're the person that can help me. And I got to break that fear. And here it is, like, I need help. And she, of course, jumped to the opportunity, and we had a long conversation. And if you really give it to somebody you trust, whether it be a friend, a mentor, a parent, me, Jake, you know, anybody, just being able to open that door of communication and saying, I really need help, and finding that way to do that. And a lot of times people feel as though they can't always afford it, and they're not going to be able to get that help. Look, it's not always money. It's not always about money. I mean, I know they have AA meetings that you can go to just to feel like you don't have to be perfect. Even if you don't have an addiction, it's just that feeling of being around people who it's like, I guess I don't have to be perfect. You know, like, there are people out there that are also feeling what I'm feeling and are also going through things and things of that sort. Also, another big thing for finding your own passion, your own purpose, your own route in life is giving back. I found my biggest passion through giving back. I know a lot of people who have, because when you give back, you realize you find what you love doing for free. And what you love doing for free is what you can create a really serious lifestyle out of, whether it be anything. I really think that anything these days are monetizable. If you love curtains, you can monetize curtains. You know what I mean? Like, anything. You can monetize anything, a chair. I know somebody who monetizes little bobby pins, right?
Okay.
And she has over a six-figure income salary from her bobby pin business, whatever.
Like intrigued.
So what she does is she takes bobby pins and she designs them. Like, she just makes them a little bit artistic.
Okay.
And she sells them online. She has her own stuff online.
Awesome.
Anything unique can go big, but you just have to be passionate about it. So by giving back, there's a lot of free events. Like, I've been to events in the city on meetups.com. You go to meetups.com, you find some local meetups. There's a bunch of meetups where it says, like, okay, we're all meeting at 9:30 and we're going to break into groups and we're just going to go give back food and clothes and things to the poor. And as you do this, you're like, wow, this feels so good. Like, I feel like I have a purpose right now. And that can really fire up some new ideas for yourself and like how with people's reaction and talking to these people that you're helping also stirs up those things. Going to those free meetups or even meetups that are only like $5 each,
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talking to different people about what they do. And you're like, whoa, I never even thought that I could do that. Maybe I should do that,
Right.
That's something that's very unique to me. And I think that you could start a business or a life path of everything. But the three biggest investments of your life, number one, yourself, number two, who you marry and who you put yourself around, and number three is what you do for the rest of your life, because you're going to be doing it every single day. And if you don't love what you're doing every single day, there's no way 1 + 1 = 2 if what you're putting in is bad, what you're getting out is bad. So make sure what you're putting in is really positive and healthy.
Yes, I know. I think about it often is how humans tend to think so short term on everything we do.
True.
Something I'm passionate about is, just like the environment, just the food we put into our body and the way we treat our planet. And you can call me a hippie, whatever. You're not going to hurt my feelings, but we look like, oh, well, can we drill into the earth and extract all of this oil or whatever it might be? It's like, well, yeah, but well, we don't ever look at the long term and anything. And that's just an extreme example. But, as a millennial yourself, Ashley, what do you feel are some of the most promising aspects of our generation and, just the people of our age?
I think that something that in our generation that we need to take advantage of is technology, and not just technology as in like, I can get millions, Instagram followers, but more of like, you have the ability to connect with anybody in the world. So like, we have the power today to literally accomplish any purpose or dream we want. Because if we can't do it here, we could do it somewhere else. I can create a website in India. I can whatever, Like, there's so many options to do what you need. If you need one job done that's not really done well in America, you can go to Belgium and do it. You can go to France and do it. You can go wherever it is, and you don't even need to leave your seat from home. You pick up the phone and you're talking to someone from across the world. So I think leveraging that literally tells every millennial today in that aspect that we have the power to literally accomplish everything. Like, we have no excuse. We have no excuse to not live up to our dreams. And I do think that actually hurts the baby boomers, because they're having trouble with the, all the millennials coming into the workforce kind of with this like, mm-hmm. stepped up on a pedestal saying, well, what do you owe me,
Right.
And I do think it is hurting the baby boomers, but in my aspect, that's where the millennials are headed. And you know what? If you have a dream, go live it. Go live it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, finding that magic bullet or whatever it might be to, people only change when they want to change. And there's that motivation in probably you and me to want as many people as possible to realize their full potential and to go out there and do something that like you said, there really is no excuse to go out there and do whatever it is that you want. You can sell pennies if you want it, or the goofiest thing you can find. If you're passionate about it, you can go out there and find somebody or whoever that wants to buy it. And in a time, I think the statistics are, 1/7. So 1 billion people are on Facebook at this current time, and probably, growing daily. So,
100%.
Yeah. All right, Ashley. Well, if there are any questions I left off or people just want to get more information about you and connect with you, what are some of the best spots where they can find you online and be able to connect with you a little bit further if they want to?
Sure. So online I have Instagram. It's just Ashley Zahabian. I have my YouTube channel, also Ashley Zahabian. My Snapchat, it's Ashley Fetishte, which is my real name. It means angel in Persian, which is pretty interesting. But that's my Snapchat. And My email is azahabian, Z-A-H-A-B-I-A-N, @gmail.com.
Awesome. And what was your Snapchat is what?
How is it spelled? So it's Ashley and then F-E-R-E-S-H-T-E-H.
Okay. And you said it's Persian. Is that some of your descent or where does that come from?
Yes, I'm Persian, Moroccan, French.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Cool. Very cool. All right. So last question from me here is, what is one bit of parting advice that you would like to share with the I Am the Average community to help inspire young adults to just go take action right now, to get off their little booties and quit sitting on the sidelines and go out and do something that makes a difference in our world?
Yeah, if you listen to this and just sit down after it and do nothing, then I don't even want to talk to you. Like you have to understand that action is where everything takes place. Like if you hear some sort of motivation and you hear some sort of people talking about like, oh my God, you can literally create anything you want and you have not taken it and you're not going to go and take action right after that, I don't know who you are. Like, you know, but if you, no, really, like to be in all seriousness, if you have something in your mind that you're thinking about right now, a passion, a dream, if you hate where you work right now, if you hate the relationship you're in right now, if you're not being treated the best way, if you're in a place and you're looking down upon it in any way, you can get up and change that right now. Like it doesn't even take, it's not going to take a week. It's not going to take a month. You have the power to change that right now. There are so many opportunities. If you need some sort of financial income, you can, there's something called after hours. You know, that's what I do. I'm in school all day. I work. And then I put in the after hours at night to work on my startup. It's possible. It's very possible. It's in your hands. It's all in your hands. Like literally look down at your hands as you're hearing this right now and say like, you're like all of what you want in your life is right there in your palm. It's right there. Your hands can do so much work. Get, you know, use your fingers on the computer. You shake hands with your hands. You know, whatever it is, make those networks. It's in your hands. It's in the palm of your hands. And every single startup that's been created started with somebody just like you and I and everybody who's listening. It started with people like us who question, is it possible? I'm not happy where I am now. I want more. And even look at the big stars that have done it. I mean, even every single person that judges on Shark Tank has had their own story of hating where they were. I mean, $5, Damon John started with a $5 t-shirt in his garage. And all he did was reach out to someone famous. He said, here's a free shirt. Can you wear it in your video? And it went viral. And look at where he is now. There's so many opportunities. You just have to be able to give, 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 create, 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 and believe, believe, believe. Those are the three things that are so important.
You share that story of Damon John. I think the most intriguing part of that, and almost unbelievable, I listened to an interview with him on The School of Greatness with Lewis Howes. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Another great podcast.
Yeah.
And there was only one person that had that didn't give it back. But those shirts that he said, hey, can you wear this in your video? At the end of it, he said, hey, man, I only have this one shirt. Do you mind giving it back at the end so I can give it to somebody else to wear? I was like, no, you didn't, man. That is incredible to not only have the guts to ask this person to wear it, but then at the end say, hey, I appreciate it, but can I also have it back? I was losing it when I first heard that. I was like,
that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes success is just free. You don't even see it. But like, you know, the important thing is whatever you create, you know, don't, I always tell this to business owners, stop hiring employees. I freaking hate that word employee because nobody wants to work for somebody else. Everybody wants to be able to feel like they're part of something. So when you say like, instead of hiring a computer guy, whatever, I have an intern that's going to be working for me this summer. And she comes up to me, she's like, hey, can I work for you? I said, you can't work for me, but you can partner with me. Because I think that that creates so much more of an open, more open communication of like, you're part of the team. I'm not hiring you. You're not below me. I don't like that idea of like somebody else below me. It's just creating those partnerships of like, hey, like if you, you know, do some of my video stuff, I'll give you free mentorship. Mm-hmm. And it also cuts your costs. Like now I don't have to pay
right.
You know? So if you don't have money, it's cool. You don't need to pay people to do your work. Just create partnerships. Find the people who need what you have. You know, you have to create some sort of value first. Once you create it, you can give that to other people for something in return. Like Damon said, here, I'll give you a shirt for your video if you give me exposure. Boom, trade. That's a partnership. That's not, you know, nobody, he didn't have to pay for marketing. He didn't have to do anything, you know?
Yes, exactly. I like that view. That's seems to me, I would say, a millennial way of thinking about things, that you're not an employee, yeah. You're a partner with me. So before we close up here, the last question is, you asking me a question. So whatever you have on your mind, if there's anything you had a desire to ask me, feel free at this point.
Sure. What do you think is the best piece of advice that you can give to somebody who is currently battling a bad place in their life in every aspect? So like not just a relationship, but their family, like they don't want to be home anymore because their parents are fighting. They have a bad relationship because that's all they know. They are working a job. They're not making enough money. You know, they really don't know where to reach out. Where would you say for them to reach out first? Since, you know, you've had your own battles in life and you've had your own, you know, I had to reach out. Where did you reach out, and where do you suggest other people also go? Because maybe there's more places that you know that I'm not aware of.
And not even to be biased, because this is a podcast and I love podcasts. I just think that the flexibility of what podcasts allow, that if you're working a job you hate, if you're whatever it is, if you're cooking dinner, if you're going out for a run, because, you know, you can still, if you're in a bad relationship, you're in a bad job, you can still find time to go work out or whatever it may be. But to pop your headphones in and listen to, I mean, I just wrote a blog post about the top 10 podcasts millennials need to be listening to. And they're from all backgrounds, of whether it's you're interested in starting a business or you just want some self-development of any kind, or you just want to be entertained. I mean, podcasts are so flexible in that you don't have to say no to one thing to say yes to podcasts. You can be cooking dinner or at your job. You can be working in your cubicle farm or whatever it may be, and be listening to a podcast about how at the end of the day, when you go home, you can put this idea that you have into action. And then that action is the next piece of advice I would say. Is it took me a long time to realize it. I mean, I am the average, I always say, is the result of the last 4 years of my life. I mean, I could have been a lot more proactive in starting it, but it was just the necessary steps I had to take. I had to overcome my obstacles, and I was, you know, going through planning a wedding and having a baby. And so this just, 2016 was my year that I was finally able to start it. So just for one, being patient, and then just continually taking those steps. Some days it's going to be a 2-step forward, 5 steps back, and then other days it's going to be just 5 pure steps forward. So just making that conscious effort to daily put in the work daily, and overall trusting the process, because if you trust the process that the work you're putting in is eventually going to get you to where you want to be, whether, you know, the work is listening to podcasts or preparing your physical and mental health to one day get you there. It's just that if you're putting in the work over time, that if you're trusting the process and doing that, you're going to get to where you want to be. And one day you'll look back onto it and you'll say, holy, holy hell, this is, I can't believe, you know, I finally am more happy with my life, or I am just completely happy with my life. So yeah.
You know, there's this one line that you mentioned that really stood out to me. You said, you don't have to say no to one thing to say yes to podcast. That's beautifully said. I think that is the beauty of podcasting and the technology behind listening to videos and just voiceovers and, you know, conversations of other people who are doing what you want to do and who have answers that you need to do, is that you can be productive and continue your day. You don't have to make time for a podcast. It's just there. It's like instead of listening to your own negative thoughts, you could just replace that voice with a podcast. Yep. And if you consistently put that in your ear all day, it becomes who you naturally
indeed.
Are.
I mean, that's
the
first step of what, you know, got me on the right path, and replacing it. And whether you want to or not, if you have a destination in mind and you want to get there, you have to make some sacrifices. And for me, I mean, going down to something as small as turning off the rap music that was just feeding curse words and stuff. And not that I don't still occasionally listen to XYZ artist or whatever like that, but if you're going to sit at your desk all day and just listen to hip hop and rap music, and not that there's anything against those genres, it's just that it's not productive. Just like, I mean, whether you want to say country or anything like that, but yeah, you can be listening to podcasts, something that's productive, whether it's an audiobook or podcast or whatever it might be, just to go into that a little bit further. But, all right. Well, I just wanted to take a few seconds to just acknowledge you as well, Ashley, for all that you have done. And, I will definitely be checking out the app that you've created, because I can see how that would be beneficial in my life as well. And all of that will be linked up in the show notes with the episode as well, so that anybody else who wants to check it out is able to go do so when they so desire.
Thank you
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Much.
So yeah, did you have any other questions or anything you needed to touch on before we part ways?
I think we are good, and hopefully I'll be back on the show some very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.